Now to Haiti. In the past few moments, we're getting word another earthquake has hit Haiti this morning. This one is a magnitude 6.0, and it shook what's left of buildings and sent people running into the streets. The U.S. Geological Survey says the epicenter was about 35 miles northwest of the capital of Port-au-Prince. Michael Dybert joins us. He's been covering the country for years. He is author of Notes from the Last Testament, The Struggle for Haiti. Michael, tell us what you heard and felt this morning.
Well, I was sitting here working on an article, actually, and the building started to sway back and forth quite violently, and you heard this rumble, so we all ran out into the street, basically.
How were people responding? Was there panic, or what was the reaction?
Well, everyone was standing outside and calling to one another to make sure they were okay or whatnot. But I imagine, I mean, this is the thing here, you know, this is the second one of these. I don't know if this was an earthquake or an aftershock, but this is the second one of these that I felt since I arrived here on Saturday night. And you can imagine the people's nerves the way they are, the kind of panic that it induces.
Yeah, earthquake or aftershock, it probably doesn't matter that much. You know, thousands have been attempting to leave Port-au-Prince this week. To access to basic services has become more and more limited. International aid is pouring into the country, but it remains very challenging for survivors forced from house and home to find food and water and shelter and medical attention. Let's listen to the State Department spokesman talking about the magnitude of the challenge.
The assistance that is getting to the airport is flowing out to the people of Haiti. The challenge is that we are not yet at the level where we can sustain a population of 3 million people.
And to talk a little bit more about this, we're joined as well by journalist Pooja Bhatia. Pooja, good to have you with us. Give us a sense of the magnitude here. I don't think we can really get a handle on it from where we sit here. All right.
Well, Michael's still with us.
Michael,
are you still
there? You still with us, Michael?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right. That whole notion of trying to sustain a population of 3 million people who, on a good day, are extremely poor and in need. Give us a sense of, we see the evidence of aid trying to get to them, but you also get the sense that we're just scratching the surface.
Well, I mean, the thing is, the scope of the disaster is so massive. I mean, you drive through some sections of Port-au-Prince, and there's not a building that hasn't been touched or almost demolished. And when you go kind of south towards a neighborhood called Kafu, or an area called Leogon, which is a little town about 20 miles outside of Port-au-Prince, and it's just almost beyond belief. But one thing I would say, I guess, one thing that I really wanted to communicate to people who are listening is that, you know, I've read a lot of characterizations of the way people are behaving down here after the earthquake, but I honestly have to say I think they behaved incredibly, incredibly well with an incredible amount of discipline and generosity towards other people. I mean, I don't know what I would be doing in this situation, but I don't know if I would be that collected as patients have been.
So when we hear about isolated cases of violence, it is just that, isolated?
Yes. I mean, I've been all over Port-au-Prince and outside of Port-au-Prince, and you know, I'm struck, I mean, almost by the resilience of people and their willingness to go on and to go forward, and watching people without, you know, any tools pull at the rubble of these buildings with their hands and with pickaxes and things like that. And it's just, I mean, for people who have suffered so much already, it's kind of awe-inspiring, at least to me.
Now,
Miles, yeah. you pulled something out of that P.J. Crowley, State Department spokesman, soundbite that we just played right there. And I want to throw that to Michael for a moment. I mean, rightly, Miles, is that what they're talking about at the State Department, that the relief effort is going to have to sustain a population of 3 million people for some open-ended period of time? Michael Delbert, is that what we're looking at here?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think the problem is in Haiti, you know, of course, is on a normal, quote-unquote, time. I mean, the government historically has barely been present in the lives of Haitians, aside from as some kind of entity that took things from them and harassed them and exploited them. So now even that little bit of governmental presence has pretty much disappeared. Although I must say the police, the Haitian National Police, have been working very hard, I think, to restore order, and also to distribute aid. And I would say down here on the ground, it's not just the United States effort. I mean, especially the Dominican Republic, which Haiti has historically had a fairly tense relationship with, has really responded, I think, extraordinarily well. There are convoys of food by governmental bodies, and also a lot of private individuals coming across from the DR every day.
Michael, symbolic yesterday, the helicopters, U.S. military helicopters landing at the wrecked government palace there. You speak of the power vacuum there, the Haitian government almost non-existent, the U.S. Attempting to step into the void there. But there's a lot of history there, and there's a lot of resistance to U.S. occupation. Are people willing to accept U.S. help at this point, or would they rather that the troops not be there?
Well, I mean, I know this is a sentiment that's going to maybe outrage some intellectuals, but when you travel around these devastated quake zones and you talk to these people, and I mean, you know, the poor were hit, the rich and the poor and the middle class were all hit, but the poor particularly, I mean, they don't even have the means to rebound. They, I would say, would want more international presence here, not less. And they told me, I mean, the thing I keep hearing is that they say the government has been completely absent, meaning their own government. They feel like they haven't, they've been totally left to their own devices by the Haitian government. And I think they just have, you know, they didn't have much faith in it before, but I don't know. I mean, they might have completely lost faith in it by this point.
Michael Dybert is a journalist and the author of Notes from the Last Testament, The Struggle for Haiti. Once again, a reminder, a 6.0 aftershock or earthquake in Haiti today. We're tracking that for you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.